our little transparency that we had all this written out for you so it'd make it a lot simpler for you. And I found it this week, or at least Ernest found it, I believe. And if that means anything to you. We want to put it on the board this morning because it does help a whole lot. In the Word of God, there are two resurrections. Two resurrections. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 talk about this. John chapter 5. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Got it on top of it. All right, that's better. John chapter 5, verse 24 through 29 also talk about the two resurrections. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 and verse 13 talk about two resurrections. Now, a lot of people want to put them all together and say there's just one general resurrection, that everybody's resurrected at the same time, but this is not true. In fact, Jesus Christ has already been resurrected, so everybody cannot be resurrected at the same time. That is virtually an impossibility. Could not happen. Since Christ has already been raised from the dead, and he's never going to die again. The book of Hebrews makes this very, very plain and very, very emphatic that Christ will never die again. Now, they're going to try to kill him, and we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Satan's going to be turned loose out of the bottomless pit one day. They're going to try to kill the Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints, but he can't make it. Why? He died once. And that once is for all. And he's been resurrected. And we told you that the first resurrection has several different parts. In fact, we have five different parts here for the first resurrection. Christ is the first fruits. And then we mentioned those saints there that were resurrected at his resurrection in Matthew chapter 27, if you remember last Sunday morning, when it talks about here, every man in his own order, every man in his own time or in his own group. And there are several different groups. Now, I want to put a little line here. Now, this is when all these things are going to happen. I got that a little bit too far over. Let's put this right here. And here's Jesus Christ. He died, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the first resurrection, part one. All right? And then right after that, we have these saints here in Matthew chapter 27. Verse 52, 53, that talk about those who were raised right after his resurrection. Now, one of these days, all the saved who have been saved from the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, up until then, all these for the last 1980 years, they're all going to be resurrected at one time, and that will be when we go to heaven. And this is part C right here. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talk about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. We'll get to that pretty quick. And other verses of Scripture talk about that also. Now, this part right here is called the 7 years of great tribulation. And right at the end of the 7 years of great tribulation, there are going to be two witnesses who will be resurrected. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7 through 11, talk about these two witnesses. They're going to be resurrected. And then right after that, the rest of the Old Testament saints, everybody who was saved before the cross, plus all the people who were saved during this time, and they died, they're going to be resurrected again. And that completes the first resurrection. Now, during the 1,000 years, there aren't going to be any saved people who are going to die. At the end of it, all of them's bodies are going to be changed. They're going to get a glorified body. They'll not see death. But then the second resurrection is going to happen. They're going to be resurrected right at the end, regardless of when they are, from actually Cain all the way through the 1,000 years. Everybody who is unsaved, who has not trusted Jesus Christ to have died, be buried, and rise again the third day, they have said, no, I will not believe on him as my Savior. I will not trust him. Doesn't make any difference which side of the cross it's on. They have all said no. They have not believed on the Son of God to be their Savior, to die and pay for their sin. They're all going to be resurrected. And they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment and be cast into hell, and they'll stay there forever and ever. Now, as we pointed out last week, hell is the federal pen. They'll stay there forever. They'll never get out. And this is all part of Resurrection 1, and this is Resurrection 2. All unsaved people will be resurrected at the same time. It doesn't matter when they died. They did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be resurrected to stand before the great white throne judgment. The Bible says they will be judged for their work. Now, unsaved people try to get to heaven by their own work. They try to do enough to get to heaven. Or they try to do things to please or appease God. But no man can do enough to appease or please God. Some people think that you've got to pray. Some people think you have to walk down an aisle. Some people think you have to turn over a new leaf and live a good life. Some people think you have to be baptized. Some people try to do all different kinds of things to get to heaven, and they will not just believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're going to be part of the second resurrection. And they're going to stand before God, and they're going to be judged for those works that they were trying to do to get to heaven. And of course, they're going to be found wanting. They're going to be found lacking, because their work will not get them there. It's impossible to do it. The only work that will get you to heaven is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He did work on that cross. He paid for all your sin, every one of them, past, present, and future. And when you trust Him, eternal life is yours, and you can go to heaven. Now, that is what He's talking about there in verse 23 when He says, every man in his own order, in his own time. Christ is the first fruits. He was the first one that was resurrected. Afterwards, they that are Christ at His coming, those who are saved at Christ's coming, they will be resurrected. Then cometh the end. The end of what? The end of time. Now, we'll be resurrected here. We'll go to heaven and we'll be judged for our rewards, and then we're going to come back to the earth. And we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. And He's going to be talking about this 1,000 years in just a moment. And when He says, then cometh the end of what? He's talking about the end of 1,000 years. Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. See, this 1,000 years is Christ's kingdom on earth. Now, there are a lot of people, and you hear people all the time praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, you can pray for His kingdom to come, all right, because it's coming. But His kingdom is not going to come for at least 7 more years. There's no way the kingdom can come for immediately. We've got to have the great tribulation before the kingdom. The Word of God brings this out very plainly, that that's got to come. When God told Daniel back there in chapter 9 of his little book, He says that Israel is going to have 490 years, then the kingdom. They've had 483. They got 7 to go. And that 7 years is it's all written right there in Daniel chapter 9. We'll not go there this morning because that's not our subject. But the end is going to come at the end of the 1,000 years. Notice, He shall deliver the kingdom to God after He reigns on the earth, during His kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. Then He's going to deliver that up to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule. Rule is a reference to Satan. Satan is the ruler of this world, and he's going to be put down. All authority, all the other rulers on the earth, all power. Doesn't make any difference who, what kind of human it is. All the power of the world. Everything's going to be under the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He's going to be what? King of kings. He's going to be the king of all the kings. He's going to be the Lord of all the lords. Now, right now, He lets other people rule. Right now, Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. The ruler of this world. He's running things. If you don't believe it, just look around. See what a mess we're in. If God was running it, would it be in a mess? No way. Because He rules and He reigns perfectly. And He's going to put everything down. And during this time, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be on the earth, and He's going to completely rule it. Now, there are going to be those who are going to rebel against His rule. Do people rebel against the rule of Jesus Christ today? Does everybody do exactly what he says? Why, he's written us a whole book of things to do. And how many people follow that? Do you know anybody who follows it completely? Not even this preacher. No one does. There's only one person who followed God the Father completely, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And people didn't like him for it. In fact, they killed him for it. And all he was doing was the will of God. But he's going to deliver, he's going to put all this down, all the rule of Satan, all the authority, all the kings of the earth. They're going to be under him and all power. Notice verse 25, for he must reign. He must reign. And this reign is going to last for 1,000 years. He must reign till he shall have put all enemies under his feet. All enemies. Now, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 for just a moment. And in verse 7, it's on page 1374, if you have a Bible like mine. Satan has been chained. He's been put in the bottomless pit. That's the first verse and the second, first, second, third verse of this 20th chapter. He's been put down there, and he's going to be put down there for 1,000 years. But notice verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. There has been no religion on the earth for 1,000 years. Now, religion is where man does something to please or appease God. Christianity is not a religion. Any religion that says you've got to do something of yourself to please or appease God, that is a religion. But Christianity says what? It's all done. Jesus did it all. We don't do things to please God. Jesus pleased God for us. Jesus paid for our sins. We have a done religion. It's all been done for us. We receive what he's done. Well, during the 1,000 years, there's not going to be any religion on the earth. But there's still going to be rebellion against Jesus Christ. Even in perfect environment, even when every stomach is filled, even when there's no poverty, even when there's no crime at all whatsoever for 1,000 years, no one stealing your things, no one cheating, no one committing adultery, no one lying. I'm talking about for 1,000 years. You would think after 1,000 years, everybody would say, boy, isn't this wonderful? Boy, we've got it great. The lion is going to lay down with a lamb and eat straw as an ox. The desert's going to bloom like a rose. No sickness, no sadness, and no sorrow. No death at all for 1,000 years. But then, Satan is going to be loosed out of his prison. And notice verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations. As soon as he's been loosed for after that 1,000 years, he's going to go out and he's going to deceive the nations. Now, what is he talking about, nations? Peoples all over the earth. He's going to deceive them, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to gather people from all over the world together to battle. Against who? Christ. Jesus. You see, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's been running the show for 1,000 years. And he's going to gather people everywhere to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. Where is he going to get them? These are going to be people who have been alive. People who were born during the 1,000 years. And there's going to be a number that are like the sands of the sea. Well, they haven't liked the reign that they had. They didn't like the Lord Jesus. Now we think, well, if people just understood, if people could just see Jesus, And they could just see his love and how much he loved them and how much he died for them and how he paid for their sin completely. Why, they would just all just trust him right quick, wouldn't they? No, they wouldn't. Not everybody's going to trust him. I've explained the gospel to people. I never will forget the first time I explained it. And a man understood. And he says, well, if that's the way to get to heaven, I don't want to go. He was a close friend of mine. We used to wrestle together. Fought like cats and dogs. And then we'd get up, smile at each other, pat each other on the shoulder, and go home. You know how boys are. We grew up together. I never will forget standing out in front of the First Baptist Church in Macon, Mississippi, my hometown. And I explained to that man, that friend of mine, how Jesus died for his sin, paid for it. That he could be saved just by trusting me. He said, if that's it, I don't want any part of it. I got sick at my stomach. I almost passed out. Because there was my friend, a bosom buddy, said, I don't want it, if that's it. And there are going to be people from all over the world who are going to say exactly the same thing. Now, he might have changed his mind since then. I prayed for him many times. And I do trust he has trusted Christ. But they're going to be the number that, like the sands of the sea. Look at verse 9. And they went up from the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. Now, where is this going to be? Jerusalem. They're probably going to be coming to Jerusalem for one of the feast days. You see, during the 1,000 years, we're going to get to go to Jerusalem. You always wanted to go to the Holy Land? Have you ever had a desire to go? Well, for a long time, I didn't want to go, but once I went, boy, I'd like to go again. I thought, well, I knew that I was going to get to go during the 1,000 years. I said, well, that'll be enough. I'll eat. At least get to go 1,000 times. I said, that ought to be enough. That's great. We are going to go, and we're going to go every year. And this is probably going to be the time when they'll do it. See, everybody will be coming there for one of these feasts, and Satan is going to have gathered all of his folks together. And they're going to compass the city. Compass the camp of the saints around about the beloved city. But then what will happen? Fire is going to come down from God out of heaven and devour. Devour. And Satan, that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Friends, those last three words are solemn words. And this is the worst part about hell, the lake of fire. That it is forever and ever. That it never ends. That's so good. That truth, along with the resurrection, will make a person concerned about lost people. It will get us to the place where little petty things don't make a whole lot of difference. It'll get us to the place where we're interested in the important things. Friends of yours who have not trusted Christ as their Savior because of some little action that we've done, some little thing that we've said, some attitude that we've had. And they say, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part in it. If that's the way Christians are, I don't want any part in it. And so they reject the Lord Jesus Christ and says, I'll just take my chances. They're going to be in hell night, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know, there are people who say, oh, hell's not real. Looks pretty real to me. It's a lake of fire and brimstone. the beast and the false prophet. Those are two people. In fact, these two people, the beast and the false prophet, and I don't have time to go into that this morning to show you from the Word of God who they are, but the beast is the Antichrist. He's the one who puts his idol up in the temple. He's a man. He's going to rule over the earth for 3.5 years, a short millennium, an anti-millennium, I guess we should say, an anti-perfect environment on the earth. He's going to be cast. He's already there. The false prophet who gets everybody to worship the beast. These are two men. And they get to spend 1,000 years in hell along with everybody else. And they're going to be in hell. Right now, there's nobody in hell. They're all in Hades, as we brought out a couple of weeks ago, which is county jail. You know, county jail is the holding place till they put you in the federal pen. And that's, these people are going to be in federal pen first, and then Satan is going to be cast down there with them. And then everybody. He sees the great white throne after that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and on so on and so forth, where all the unsaved, the second resurrection, are resurrected, and they stand before the great white throne, and they are cast into the same place. But the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign till he puts all enemies under his feet. See, right there at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to destroy all of his enemies. All of them. There's only one left. After Satan is defeated there at the second battle of Gog and Magog, cast into the lake of fire, then he has one more enemy to contend with. And turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26. And that tells us that enemy. He's going to reign till he puts all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Not Satan. Satan is next to the last enemy. The last enemy is death. And as we have pointed out, all the unsaved will be resurrected. You see, everybody gets a resurrected body. Saved and unsaved alike. A resurrected body is a body who never lived, never dies, always living. You mean when they're resurrected, they're going to be in heaven? No. No. They'll have their resurrected bodies and they're going to live in the lake of fire forever and ever. So he's going to nullify, he's going to destroy, which means to nullify or to render useless, the last enemy, which is death. There'll be no more death. At the end of the 1,000 years, no one will ever die again. Everybody will be in their body. Somebody asked me yesterday, when did I think Lynn James died? Don't know. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he went up to the third heaven and he says, I don't know whether I was in my body or I was out of my body. But he says, I know I went to the third heaven. Now, it was probably one of the times that he was left for dead that he went there. And he didn't know whether God took him there in that body on up to the third heaven and he saw all those things. Or whether his body was there on the earth and he just saw all those things. Now we know from that for sure that when people die, they are just as conscious and they're just as real alive as if you are, or as you are right now, wherever you're sitting. He couldn't even tell whether he was in his body or not. But he was still very, very conscious in that third heaven up there. Now, we do know that either she went to the third heaven 9 weeks ago, last Friday, or sometime between there and 9:15 yesterday. Because the Bible says absent from the body, and she's not in that body anymore. You can go up here to Welch's funeral home and you can see it. But that was just the house that she lived in for 30, how long was it, Mr. Melvin? 30-some years, okay. I didn't know how old she was. I guess it's all right to tell her age now. It was just the house that she lived in. And that house is going, she's going to live in that house again one day. Why? Because death is going to be destroyed. Verse 27, he shall have put all things under his feet. Jesus Christ is going to have everything under his feet. When something is under your feet, that means that you are ruling over it. That it is under subjection to you. And he, the Father, is going to put all things under his feet, Jesus Christ. But when he said, all things are put under him, it is manifested that he, the Father, is accepted or is apart from it or omitted from it. Who did put all things under him, under Christ. Now you see, everything is under the Father. I mean under the Son, except who? The Father. The Father is always in command. The Father is always in charge. Now this doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is not God. It just means as far as authority is concerned, the Father still does the planning and the Son still does the executing. And the Father is first as far as rank is concerned and the Son is second. And everything else in all the universe is under the Son. And when all things shall have been subdued unto him, the Lord Jesus, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto the Father, unto him that put all things under him, under the Son, that God might be all in all. You see, God does permit things now to go contrary to his will. God permits things to go opposite from that. God doesn't like suffering any more than you do. God doesn't like sadness any more than you do. Why is there sadness? Because it is needful for man. Why is there death? Because it's needful. If we never died, then God's word would not be true. God told Adam back in the garden, he says, when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, dying, thou shalt surely die. The day you eat it of it, dying, you're going to die. What's he talking about? Dying, you're going to die? There's two kinds of death in that. Dying spiritually, you'll begin to die physically is what he's talking about. You see, he died spiritually that day. The day he ate of it, he died spiritually. We know that he lived 940 years. Or was it 30? Who cares? 930 years. After he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, physically he lived 930 years. Spiritually he died that day. He was separated from God the Father the day he ate the fruit. But his old body lived on. God says you die, you eat, you're going to die, and then you're going to begin to die. We all die. We're all growing old. Every one of us. And sooner or later, if Jesus Christ doesn't come, we're going to have to face that time. Why? God keeps his word. If we all die because of sin, I want you to look at one verse of Scripture. Look back to 15:22. Chapter 15, verse 22 of 1 Corinthians. For in Adam all die. Adam threw us into a mess. Adam caused sin and death. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You want to be made alive this morning? There's only one way. And that is what? To be in Jesus Christ. How do you get in Him? Paul tells us. Being found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. I was found in Jesus Christ at age 19. Why? Because I trusted in Him. Being found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. And faith alone. Friend, this morning, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you? If you haven't, you can do it right where you sit. Right this minute. You can be born again and you can have eternal life. And never have to worry about a great white throne judgment. Never ever again have to be worried about going to hell, the lake of fire. But you can be there. Jesus Christ is going to reign. You don't have to bow your knee to Him now. You don't have to confess Him now. But one day every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. Whether you want to or not, you'll still acknowledge Him as the great Savior and the great God. But it will be too late if you die outside of Jesus Christ. You must do it now if you have everlasting life. Let's bow for prayer. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, listen, we encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that nothing I can say or nothing I can do to make you trust Him as your Savior. I can merely explain it to you. I'm merely to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I can tell you how, but you must trust Him. Have you ever done it? Have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, do it right now if you haven't. Right in your seat. Right where you're sitting. Eternal life will be yours.